Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull says Australia is, quote, not daunted by the challenge posed by global warming. He told the UN Climate Change Conference in Paris overnight that Australia will join a global drive to double R&D spending and clean energy innovation over the next 5 years, and will also contribute $1 billion over that same period to help developing countries in our region adapt to the worst impacts of climate change. Larissa Waters is the deputy leader of the Greens. She's in Paris as an observer of the UN Climate Change Summit, and she spoke to our political editor, Alison Carabine, from the floor of the conference.
Larissa Waters, welcome.
Hi, Ali. Good to be with you.
The Prime Minister is on board this push by Barack Obama and Bill Gates to try and leverage much greater investment in green technologies. There'll be an extra $100 million a year for research and development in this country. How big a role do you see this playing in reducing Australia's carbon emissions?
Well, look, of course, research and development and actually deployment of clean energy is the pathway to not just a safe climate, but economic prosperity. But what an insult that Australia's contribution is so incredibly small. And it comes off the back of huge cuts to the research and development budget that were made in the 2014 budget and, of course, kept in the 2015 budget. So the money that's been put back in today is less than half of what was cut, which makes it very hard to take the commitment seriously. And, of course, the best bodies that are doing the research and development in innovation and clean energy are the CEFC and the Renewable Energy Agency, both of which the Turnbull government wants to abolish.
So that does seem to be at odds, isn't it, that the government confirming just yesterday that it still wanted to abolish ARENA and the CEFC at the same time that the Prime Minister was signing up to this global push to increase R&D for clean technologies?
Look, exactly. It's hypocritical to say that we want to support, that Australia should support and wants to support research and development and are prepared to put a few measly dollars in, whilst at the same time the very bodies that are responsible for doing that R&D work into clean energy are on the chopping block by the Turnbull government. I think Malcolm Turnbull is being a bit deceptive, really, by holding out to the world that Australia's some great champion, when in fact this money restores less than half of what his government cut to research and development, and when his government still wants to abolish those two key bodies that are doing this work.
But when you look at the bigger picture, there are 20 countries signing up to this Mission Innovation Initiative, and they include the heavy emitters US, China and India. Could this be the game changer when it comes to capping rises in global temperatures?
Look, any amount of transition support to clean energy will be the game changer, but clean energy is already proven. And in fact, really, the question is about deployment rather than more research and development. What we really need is to get rid of those enormous fossil fuel subsidies that the taxpayer is supporting in Australia, thanks to the Turnbull government policy, and to actually roll out renewables. It's what the community wants. And it's what we know is the solution to global warming.
In the last few hours, the Prime Minister has refused to sign up to this communique demanding a phasing out of fossil fuel subsidies. How much do you think this was driven by pressure back home from not just the mining industry and farmers, but also from his own backbench, especially the Nationals?
Look, it's absolutely outrageous that Australia today refused to sign on to a communique that called for phasing out inefficient fossil fuel subsidies. Now, for Australia to play that blocker role when so many other nations were prepared to sign up to that very obvious and sensible pledge really speaks volumes to who is controlling the Prime Minister and whose agenda he's pushing. I think it's incredibly disappointing that despite all of the rhetoric about innovation, that the Prime Minister is still pushing the barrow of the coal industry.
Larissa Waters, many would argue that the diesel fuel rebate is not a subsidy, it's a legitimate business input.
Well, this is the argument the Prime Minister tried to run today, and I'm afraid it just doesn't wash. You can't say that a big miner can get cheap petrol and cheap diesel and can have accelerated depreciation and that that's not a subsidy. I'm afraid that just doesn't pass the common sense test. We do need to see some action following through and actually removing those billions of dollars of subsidies to fossil fuels and start to actually support the clean energy sector like Australians want.
We've also heard from the Prime Minister in the last couple of hours that Australia will be contributing another $800 million to the Green Climate Fund. That's on top of the $200 million already committed, so that's $1 billion all up. Does that indicate the government is recognising the need to support developing countries, especially those in the Pacific, to help them mitigate the damaging effects of climate change.
So today, when we saw that actually there's been no increase in funding from Australia, it's simply a continuation of our very low $200 million commitment. When other nations today and yesterday have really ramped up their commitment, you've got $4 billion a year by Germany, the UK is almost multi-billion dollars. So many other comparable nations have really stepped up and increased their contribution. Australia's kept it very low. It's not even all new money, and it's coming out of the foreign aid budget. So our government is robbing Peter to pay Paul with this tiny amount of money. It's a real disappointment, and I think the countries in our region will be particularly disheartened at Australia's lack of meaningful commitment to help them.
Could it at least encourage developing countries to get on board and do more to reduce their own emissions?
Look, I was at one of the climate vulnerability forums today, and it was incredibly moving to hear the 43 most vulnerable nations of the world, vulnerable to climate change, pleading with the world to increase its ambition. It's really clear that we are in the fight of our lives globally. And for Malcolm Turnbull, who has come in with such great rhetoric, and the Australian people have placed so much hope in him because he's not Tony Abbott and they want Tony Abbott's climate policies dropped, for him to then disappoint everyone so greatly today was really heartbreaking. To have a Prime Minister that says some words occasionally but then doesn't follow through, it's just heartbreaking.
But the Prime Minister is indicating some flexibility to increase Australia's carbon reduction targets. You're very critical that they're only 26 to 28% by 2030. Do you think he is clearing the way for a higher Australian target when those targets are reviewed in a couple of years' time?
Well, I was listening today to his press conference, and he specifically ruled out reviewing Australia's pollution reduction targets in that 2017 review of carbon policy. And that was devastating because, like you, I've been listening closely to the rhetoric, and many people have been investing a lot of hope that there would be change in climate policy, and they want that, and they can see that the world needs that. And so to have the Prime Minister slap that down today and say that he's not even going to look at reviewing the targets in that 2017 review, I don't know what he is going to look at, but clearly the targets are the most important thing. And to keep targets that are less than one-third of what the science says is necessary is an absolute insult to Australians and the rest of the world.
Larissa Waters, thank you for your time.
It's good to talk to you, Ali.
Larissa Waters is the Deputy Leader of the Greens. She was speaking with our political editor, Alison Carabine, from Paris. And in our interview earlier with the Environment Minister, Greg Hunt, also in Paris, he did reconfirm that the government policy is still to abolish ARENA and the Clean Energy Finance Corporation. This is despite the pledge to double our spending on R&D into clean energy. And while the ministers in Paris here at home late yesterday, the Climate Change Authority released its report into the effectiveness of an emissions trading scheme. It found that Australia will need new policies, it says, to achieve its targets for 2030 and beyond. And it says that emissions trading is, quote, important and is necessary in the nation's toolkit to address global warming. So I guess the minister will have a look at that when he gets home.